Tanya, appreciate, and Megan. How many of you, man, that's a lot of information we've had this morning and this afternoon. Boy, great, great stuff. I know you said, why is the CAB guy coming up here? Probably a lot of you are thinking that. Actually, my wife, she goes, what are you doing at conference? I said, well, I'm actually on a genomics panel. She said, really? And so with that vote of confidence, I packed my bag and I headed for Wichita. But I'm the low-tech part of the program. But I'll be real honest. This is the part, and man, all of the smart people that have developed these tools and have brought us along in this technology, and probably stretch our thinking of where we can go with some of these things. You know, I'm excited to kind of now bring to you some of the things we're doing today out in the commercial industry, and some real world application of these tools that have some really, really exciting benefits for our customers of registered Angus cattle. Okay? So I got to start here. Okay? I got to start here because I hear this a lot as I travel out in the country and visit with folks, and people go, Mark, man, we've been talking about marbling for a long time. Do we really need to keep talking about marbling? Okay? I don't know how many of you saw the most recent national beef quality audit that just recently came out, and boy, I compliment all of the folks that put this information together. I think it's a great benchmark for our industry to say, where are we today? And where do we have room to make improvements? Okay, and this is showing information. I contrast 2000 National Beef Quality Audit to the 2011 National Beef Quality Audit. And what they did when they go out and they look at what we're producing today, and they survey our end users and the buyers of beef, and they said, here's what we're giving you today. What would you like to have? And what they said is in 2011... we are still leaving that bottom line, $43.66, in lost opportunity due to quality issues. But boy, the biggest chunk of that was still quality grade, wasn't it? Now, I also don't want to get lost in this, is look at the improvement we've made since 2000. Okay, we are making improvement. And I'll say, you as Angus breeders need to, don't hurt yourself, but pat yourself on the shoulder, because I think as a breed, you know, we can be really proud that we have made improvements of putting a better beef product on the plate of the consumer. And as a result, we're continuing to grow demand, but we've got room to continue to improve, and we can get better. I show you just this from Gerald already mentioned the record that's going to be set. This isn't an official number, 810 million pounds. That's ballpark where we're going to be. That is going to be another record year for the Certified Angus Beef brand. And that's so exciting, because I tell you what, if you'd have been talking to us, you know, Kathy, boy, thinking about some of the February board meetings, and we're sitting around and saying, this is going to be a tough, tough year. We started slow because of supply challenges, pricing. You guys know all of the challenges that are out there. And yet the demand for the brand continues to be so strong, okay, that we've been able to there's been the supply there, and sell more pounds off of every animal to set another record year. Okay, looking long term, as we look at a smaller U.S. cow herd, okay, we know the opportunity for growth is to make more of them Angus influenced and get more of them up into the specifications. So we're continuing to grow and look at how we grow the supply to in line with that demand, because the demand is there and the demand signals are being sent. Some of you don't maybe follow, you know, and market cattle on a grid each and every day. And follow this maybe quite as closely in the feedlot as the feedlot industry or a feedlot producer would. But, man, we just continue to see the spreads in these grid premiums materialize. And over the last few years, that's continued to get greater and greater. And again, that's a little hard to see probably for some in the back of the room. But bottom line, today, on the standard grid that's out there, there's about a $400 difference on an 850-pound carcass if he's standard or if he's prime. Okay, so there's some big economic signals being sent to make sure that we keep pressure on putting more quality in these cattle. And, you know, when we look at high corn prices, we look at some of these aggressive growth technologies that we implement at the feeding industry that work against marbling, or we got to continue to put more genetic ability for grade in these cattle. And again, it speaks to why we're up here, and I guess why we get so excited about some of these tools that bring us along at an even faster pace for our commercial customer. You know, when we look at, and we can't talk about marbling obviously all by itself, and it's pounds. You know, pound steel is the economic driver. Of course, all the things we talked about this morning as it relates to cow productivity, getting her bred, having a live calf, efficiency, none of those things in any way are undermined. But the exciting thing is we can continue now to put also selection on pressure on cattle that can come into the feedlot, that can grow, and that can grade. You know, and we know those two individual traits are about a 40% heritable trait. This is my cowboy way of showing that, meaning of that, of everything that influences those two traits, about 40% of that is genetics, and the rest of that we call environment, okay, or management. And all of the things, health, nutrition. And we've been working as a branded program with CAB. Some of you are familiar with our best practices and trying to encourage and educate a commercial cattleman of all the things that they could do in their operation to get more cattle up into a CAB high-quality kind of end product. And so this idea of now incorporating genomics is kind of a natural evolution in our best practices approach to, again, help that cattleman that's investing in registered Angus bulls, okay, to come alongside them and again, help them access those dollars and those premiums that are out there in the marketplace. So, with that warm-up, what's GeneMax? Okay, GeneMax, and I hope you've all heard of it. I hope this isn't the first time. We actually launched the product back in February at the NCBA, at the Cattlemen's Convention. And it's slowly, as we've been able to get out and talk with cattlemen and spread the word about what this product is and honestly what it's not. And so this is a great opportunity to maybe refresh some of your memory and for some maybe a first time you're hearing about it. It is a DNA test for two traits, marbling and for post-weaning gain. Okay, it has a very specific intended user, and that's your bull customer. Okay, it's the cattlemen out there buying those registered Angus bulls. This test was designed to be used on high percentage Angus cattle. That's what GeneMax was built to do. That's what it's designed to do. Okay, we think it kind of has both some selection application, some marketing application, and maybe some decision tool kind of application. And I'll give a little bit of some examples of some ways that those might be used by our different industry stakeholders. Okay? To say what it is, we at the same time we're clear to say what it's not. Okay? We're talking about all these exciting tools that are there for the registered breeder. Okay? This is not one of those. This is for your customer. Okay? It's not incorporated into the genomically enhanced EPDs. That you've just heard about. This panel is we're looking at fewer markers. It doesn't have the power of the products that are out there designed for you as the registered breeder. This is built to be a lower cost kind of test, very focused on two traits, again, for your commercial bull customer. Okay, what's this thing look like? You get a couple different the results, if you will. You get what we call a GeneMax score. Then you also get component traits of GeneMax marbling and gain, so an indicator of the two traits individually. And then kind of a new feature that we've added just here this summer and come online is a feature we're calling Sire Match. So I'll walk you through what that looks like. So you get this report back, you send in your DNA samples, you get this report back on each individual animal, you get a GeneMax score. And what that is, it's an economically weighted. Okay, economically weighted, and that's important to think about. Economically weighted value that incorporates both marbling and gain. Okay, and it's put on a 1 to 100 kind of scale. And what we're doing is we're taking the test and we're benchmarking the genomics of that particular animal against a set population that we have in our database. Okay, this is a set of commercial. It's a database that we're putting it against that represents what we believe is the commercial Angus population that's out there. So it's benchmarking, if you will, the cattle that we test against this set population. So it gives you a percentile ranking. The higher the number, the better. For example, this animal that's a 99, that's in the top 1% of again as we compare it to this database that we have back in St. Joe. So that's the GeneMax score, and that's really where we encourage a commercial cattle producer to be thinking about. Not maybe the individual component traits as much, but that combined GeneMax score. But we do have the component traits, and you do get that information back. It's represented in a 1 through 5, okay? So you can incorporate that, the higher, interpret that, the higher the number, the better. So a 5 for marbling is in the top 20% of our database. A 5 on gain, again, the top 20%. Okay, does that make sense? So the GeneMax score is the economically weighted combined value for both marbling and for gain. And then both the, and GMX gain and GMX or GeneMax gain and marbling, the component traits, are just, again, not economically weighted, but just, again, giving a measure of the genetic merit of that animal relative to this database. That makes sense? Okay. The new feature is sire match. And this is one we're really excited about. Tanya talked about, you know, that California, that commercial California study that I think is, that was an eye-opener for me. Okay, I'm fully aware that you turn 5 bulls out in a multi-breeding scenario and they don't just each divvy up the cows and say, okay, I'll take these 20 and you take those 20. Okay, we know that's not how it works. But when you look at the economics of some of those situations, that data just blows me away. And I think that would surprise a lot of people. And you know, it's great if that bull that sired all the calves was the best bull you had out there, right? But what if he's not? And you need to know that as a commercial cattleman, especially when I start thinking about the heifers I'm going to be keeping back. And how do I breed those heifers? So having that information, having that sire identification is awfully important. What we can do today, okay, with GeneMax, and because this is a partnership with Pfizer on this particular test, okay, we can if the sires of those calves have been 50K tested, okay, so you could take all your AI sires for the most part, I guess, and then those bulls, natural service bulls that are 50K tested, if we've got a 50K test on them, we can do a sire assignment back on those individual tests, on those individual animals, and we can do that for no additional cost. So now, for that GeneMax user, not only do they get the GeneMax score, the component traits of marbling and for gain, but they also get a most likely sire. Okay, another added feature that GeneMax now has that we think has an awful lot of application and utility out to your customer. So I want to share a little bit of quick data with you. We did a field study. This was some work with the Tri-County Steer Carcass Futurity at Iowa State University, Dr. Strobeam, and one of the very best data sets out there, if not the best data set. That they've got so much information on tracking cattle, understanding the genetics of the cattle, and tracking the performance of those cattle on feed. And so about 2,000 head of high percentage Angus feeder cattle that we had DNA tests on that we're able to then correlate and look at how those cattle actually did from a feedlot performance standpoint and from a carcass quality standpoint. And what we found was just some very high correlations and associations of the GeneMax test back to the measured traits of interest, average daily gain, and marbling. As we say around the office, it works. Okay, it works. And that's what that data basically... Here's what that looked like in this particular... what we had is down on the bottom, so you have your GeneMax of 5. Remember, that's better. Okay, higher the number, the better, all the way down to your score of 1. Have to double up here. So a 5 down to a 1. And this is gain. So we see average daily gain, and what we had was a range and a very nice linear trend here of 3.53 down to 3.28. Okay, so we saw a quarter pound a day average daily gain from our low GeneMax gain to our high GeneMax gain. Now, for some of you maybe not in the feeding industry, you think, quarter pound a day, big deal, okay? You start talking to the feedlot operator about a quarter pound a day and being able to explain a quarter pound a day or predict a quarter pound a day, you know, that gets to be pretty, pretty significant. You know, we saw the same trend with marbling. When we looked at the GeneMax marbling, the component traits, 5 through 1, and compared that to what they actually, cattle actually did, we saw a spread of 430, a small 30 down to a small 17. One thing to note on these cattle and the way the Tri-County is steer carcass futurity has been managed over the years, you know, they pull these cattle out at about 0.4 of an inch of fat. That they've been managed to a compositional endpoint over the years, Daryl, and I think it makes it great for a producer that participates in that program to kind of measure their success or their progress from one year to the next. But we'd also believe that maybe some of these cattle weren't allowed to express their full genetic potential for marbling and for quality at the end point some of these cattle were pulled. But nonetheless, the trend was very, very encouraging. We did an economic analysis using that data set and said, okay, so what? So what is that? What's this GeneMax score? How good of a job does it do actually again, explaining the economics, right? Okay, and what we said was basically a 10-unit move in the GeneMax score. Okay, and this thing's a little complicated, but it's dependent on how long we have these cattle on feed, which makes some sense, right? So for a 10-unit change in GeneMax score equated to $3.30 for every 100 days these cattle were on feed. Okay, and we had some assumptions. We plugged in a $8 choice select spread, three and a quarter ration cost. Okay, what's that? Give me some real-world application of that, right? So take a set of steers, six weight steers, and we're going to have them on feed for, say, we're going to have them on feed for 200 days. Okay? The steers on your left, we're calling these a 25, and the steers on the right are a 75. So we have 50 points of gene max difference between those two sets of steers. Okay? Remember, every 10 units is worth $3.30 for every 100 days on feed. We got them on feed for 200 days. Okay? So $6.60 per head for every 10 units times 5, okay, 50 points of difference. And there was a $33 per head advantage to those higher averaging gene max set of feeder cattle versus the ones with the 25. What's that mean for if I'm out there selling feed? What if I'm selling the ones with the 75 and my neighbor's selling the ones with the 25? Does the buyer know that? Probably not today. But what if we can document that value difference? Okay, is that worth that to the feedlot to be able to buy a set of cattle that are more predictable on gain and quality in these price levels that we're playing with? Absolutely. Absolutely. So what kind of applications do we think are out there? Probably, you know, we talk about the feeder calf and boy, we think that's a neat area as we look down the road. Today, I'd tell you, I think from a heifer selection standpoint, you know, this tool has the most utility, the most application, probably the easiest to make work from a return on investment, right? Okay. It's a selection and it's a breeding tool. I put in here, select the best growth and marbling genetics. And I don't know, you know, it does give you the ability to maybe say, maybe I don't want to maximize the growth. Maybe I don't want those fives in my particular operation. Back to matching our cow with our environment. And again, it leaves you some flexibility to use that information. Again, it's more information in the hands of that commercial producer to make a better and more informed decision of what heifers they want to keep back into their herd. Make better breeding decisions. I think this is a big one. If I know what these cattle, maybe an area they're deficient in, do I know that I ought to put more selection pressure on gain or on marbling, okay, based on what the profile of those cattle are? Okay, and now with sire match, now if I know sires, can I do a better job of, if I know I've been using a particular sire and I know these are out of that particular sire, can I do a better job of what to breed them to? Okay, if with that information, I think there's an awful lot of value there. I throw it in as a culling tool, and we actually have one large operation that has tested all their cows. They're at a point and in a drought area, and they've been culling for the last 2 years and will probably feel like they have to continue to cull. And his comment to me was, he said, I've culled everything I know. Again, I've culled the old ones, I've culled the ugly ones, I've culled the crazy ones. Okay, I'm down to my core. This is a big operation. I'm down to my core cows. I need more information now. If I've got to cull more cows, I want to make sure that I'm culling the bottom into my genetics. And this tool will allow me to do that. Again, something to think about. And I throw it out as a marketing tool. Again, a way to document the value that exists in a set of feeder cattle or a set of commercial heifers. And this is a neat example, a great example. I don't believe Mark Gardner is in the room. He's getting ready to host us here on Friday. This just happened here last week. The Gardner operation tested about 140 of their commercial heifers, bred heifers that they were selling in their sale. And what they did is they took the top, they put them in groups of 10. From some of you that have been there, they sell groups of 10 bred heifers. They took the top 10 gene max scores and called them lot one. They took the next 10 gene max scores and called them lot two. And then the next 10 and on down the road. And what you see is the cattle that that second bar, the heifers that had a 60 or less gene max score, those groups of heifers, brought $1,712. The ones that were a 60 to 80 brought $1,987. The ones that were over an 80 were $2,100. buyers really understood this stuff and bought into, hey, this is a way for me to really go out and buy these very best commercial Angus genetics for my operation. And now I've got more documentation. I have a better idea of what I'm buying. Okay, I went ahead and compared that because I thought, well, you know, what's that mean? Did we just devalue the bottom end and increase the value on the top end? What did we really do? And so I went out and pulled just the average of a comparable bred heifer, if you will, that sold in Superior's sales the week before out of a similar region. They ranged anywhere from $1,085 to $1,500. They averaged $1,362. That's the gray bar. My interpretation of that, okay, is there was a premium on even. Again, these cattle were less than 60. They were not bad cattle by any stretch of the imagination. There was still a premium in those heifers over the, I'll call, a commodity bred heifer, because they were AI sired, they were freeze branded, they were put together in groups of 10. There was value added to that, right? But then as you continued to document those even better genetics, there continued to be a premium, and a pretty significant premium, up close to about a $600 spread from the high-selling set of heifers to the low-selling set of heifers. I think Mark would tell you, and I'd encourage you to visit with him, he was pretty excited about that and pretty encouraged about how his buyers bought into that. So just an application of from a marketing standpoint, maybe something to think about as those of you that work with your customers and put bred heifers or open heifers back together for them, maybe this is another value-added tool and a way to document the superior genetics that are there. For the feeder, is it a procurement tool? You know, if I'm out there buying these high-priced feeder cattle, and the feedlot's going to tell you they're all high-priced, right? But if I'm out there buying, you know, if I had more information... If I had some more information, I had one large feeder tell me, he said, you know, it's not so much on some of these super high reputation cattle. I know what they are. There's a lot of other cattle that are probably just as good, and I just don't know which ones there are. Which ones they are. If I had a way to document that value, absolutely, you know, I would be able to pay for those better genetics. Is it a management tool? You know, if we know what the genetics of these cattle are coming into the feedlot, do we develop a technology, an implant, and a beta agonist strategy that's a little bit different based on what their genetics are? Okay, do we think about how we're going to market these cattle, maybe not on a grid or on a grid based on what their genetics are? There's some real application as it relates to a management tool. And I throw in here, I think it's a genetic risk management plan. Again, in a lot of ways, if I can buy feeder cattle with more documented value, take some of the risk out of what I'm buying, we think there's some application long term. Share this with you, this is exciting data, and this is literally hot off the press as we were putting it together last night and looking at this data. And you're going to get to see Jerry. Jerry Bone is still here. Jerry's one of our hosts later in the week at Pratt Feeders. Jerry, we had 205 head of Angus source cattle out at Jerry's place. We gene max test those and split them in half. Basically, we took the highest scoring half and we put them in one pen. We took the lowest scoring half and we put them in the other pen. The high group, if you will, averaged almost a 90 gene max score. Okay, these were pretty special cattle. These were pretty special cattle, and it was intentional that we wanted to really work in a set of very, very high quality cattle that we knew a lot about. We'll call them the low group, and we keep laughing. We need to quit calling them the low group, but they were low in this particular set. They averaged an average of 50.7, but there was some cattle in there with almost a gene max score of the high up being a 79. So there was quite a range in that group. And then you can see their individual component traits. One thing to note is there was more difference in marbling than there was necessarily in gain, and we see that when we look at the carcass data. So... again, there was about 200 head. We split them in half. Jerry and his crew just last week, sorted out a load out of each pen, okay, and harvested those cattle. And here are the results. So after 126 days on feed, the high sorted Gene Max group had an average daily gain of 4.62 pounds. Okay, the low group had an average daily gain of 4.54 pounds. These cattle smoked, right? You guys are familiar with feedlot gain. That's pretty darn impressive. These cattle were some bigger kind of cattle coming in. They performed awfully well. And then you would expect, this is the first group out, right? These are the cattle that come in, and that first sort out of a big setter, usually you're going to see some performance like that. Look what we see in average marbling score difference, okay? Close to 30 points of difference in average marbling score between those two pens of cattle. The high load, the high GMX load, went 50% CAB, okay? The low group went 32%. So still, as we said, these were still really good cattle. And the GeneMax score told us these were still very good cattle. So really encouraging. You'll have the chance to see these pens of cattle when you drive through the yards there on Friday. And I think what you'll see, Jerry, as you look across those two pens of cattle, to the eyeball, you can't tell the difference in them. And that's the whole point, right? It's what genomics allows us to do, okay, is look underneath and look and see things that we can't see today. To predict that kind of performance and that kind of performance difference. This was just looking at marbling score because I was just amazed at how well it did. To those cattle that were over a 75 on GeneMax score averaged a modest, that's 500 is modest zero, that's the minimum spec for CAB. They averaged a modest two, or basically right at the line for a CAB acceptance. So pretty amazing of how well it did in terms of identifying those genetics. Again, it works, as we joke around the office. So the whole process, what's this thing look like? Again, and again, don't want to spend a lot of time. We'd love to visit with you. Gary Fike, you're just jumped up, so I want to introduce you. Gary Fike's a beef cattle specialist out of our Manhattan office. Kara Wilson, Kara Wave back there. We're going to be with you basically the whole tour. We'd love to visit with you about how this whole thing all works and how you might get involved and work with your customers. But again, there's the process. You can order test kits. The test cost $17. Okay, so the point was to develop a test that was lower cost that had some commercial application. Again, the test and the process is similar. Those of you that are familiar, it takes a blood sample that you send into AGI. We work with the Pfizer lab just like we do on the 50K. Those results come back in less than 4 weeks, and you get that. A couple things I wanted to throw. I just think there are some opportunities for the registered breeder. While this is for your customer and designed for your customer, we think there's some opportunities for you to promote this to your customers, bring them value that they can only get when they're using registered Angus bulls. Okay? Now, this thing is designed for high percentage Angus cattle, and so it becomes a value-added service for your customers. We talked about maybe some customer appreciation sales, how that might work. The sire match feature, if you're 50K testing some bulls, does this add value now to those bulls that are going out that are 50K tested? If you can now do sire match on them for the $17, we think it sure does, and maybe something that you want to talk about and convey to your customer. If you're interested in doing that, we do have some sale catalog inserts that are made available. We're even throwing out a little promotion. If you want to put one of those in your bull sale catalog, we sure appreciate that. And as a token of our appreciation, you send us your bull sale catalog or your sale catalog with the sale catalog insert, and we'll get you a GeneMax pullover to wear around and help promote the program, because we really believe it's something. It's an exciting step. It's an exciting tool that we believe really drives value in those folks that are invested in registered Angus genetics.